Hey, everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hey, today we're joined again with Batman. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. Good to see you again.
It's always weird because sometimes I just want to call you Rob.
I know
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But, you know, it's awesome to have you back. How have you been?
Great, man. Busy. Just running all over the place. And, you know, work is going great. Home is going tremendous. I have a grandson that's graduating from kindergarten Thursday night. So,
hey, man.
Yeah, man. So awesome. My son texted me today and goes, "You are coming, right?" And I said, "I'm not missing this."
Man, graduation from kindergarten. Our granddaughter is 8.
Yeah.
And we have a granddaughter that's 2.
Hmm.
And man, let me tell you, we're, I know this isn't on topic. We didn't really have a topic. We were just going to talk.
Right.
But in 2 weeks, we're taking everybody to Disney. All the kids.
Are you a glutton for punishment, man?
Man, I'm telling you, I should have brought this shirt that Linda, my wife bought me a shirt, and it's a dude with a big old beard and Mickey ears.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
It says, "I'm just here to pay for everything."
That's it, right? I'm the ATM.
That's right. You know, but our oldest is 30, our youngest is 26, and we haven't really done a family vacation. So we were like, let's just do a family vacation.
Well, our kids are spread out all over the United States, you know. Yeah. So, you know, our oldest is in Manhattan, Kansas.
Okay.
And then, you know, Jonesboro, Arkansas. And then we have 2 that are in Hermitage area.
Yeah.
And our son Cody is in Lebanon. And then Alex, our youngest, is an international flight attendant. He'll pop up in Spain, you know, he'll call me from Spain, or he'll be in Germany, you know, he's all over the world. So it's hard to get all my kids together.
Yeah, but with him being a flight attendant, he probably has a little bit of pool, right? You could all do a vacation somewhere.
Somewhere. We probably could. I mean, Alex, if you're listening.
Right? I know he could.
Yeah, he probably could.
You know, I think it's interesting because last time we talked, a lot has changed since then,
mm-hmm.
right? You're like, you're wearing your patches today.
Right.
Which, praise God. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. The Lord has been very faithful to us and has been very gracious.
Absolutely. I mean, he always is, even though
when
we don't know it.
Yeah.
And then we got to go back to the rescue mission.
Oh, that was amazing.
I can't, you know, this last Sunday we went, right?
Just right.
A couple days ago.
Yeah.
And it was the first time Linda had ever went with.
Yeah. And it was great to see her there, too.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
But after we left, she goes, "I get it."
Yeah.
Like, I know why you love to go there.
Exactly. And to experience that and to, it's a blessing, you know, it's very humbling to be there, but it's a huge blessing to see guys that you would never, I wouldn't say never associate with, but, you know, to meet guys and talk with guys that on a normal daily basis in a corporate world,
right,
or in a biker world even,
right,
you know, we wouldn't necessarily be able to talk with these guys.
No, that's right.
But to be able to not just talk with them, but to minister.
Oh.
It's amazing. I love it. I eat it up.
I look forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like, and I know this probably sounds crazy to anybody listening, but it's almost like the day before Christmas every month.
It is. It really is.
Like, I'm so excited to go. And even when I go to church before we go to the mission,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of listening to the message.
Yeah, but I'm already thinking about what's,
ready. Let's, like, who I'm going to pray, and we're going to do this.
Right.
And we're going to meet some people, and we're going to walk the halls.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And it's really cool when you go back and you know, guys remember your name.
Absolutely.
You know, and you've got that relationship that you've been building with them over the months. Of course, you know, when COVID hit and we got shut down from the rescue mission, it was really hard. It really was, you know, and I was so excited when I got your text message about coming back. It was really, I told Rebecca, I said, "Look, Rick's texting me. It's time to go back to the mission."
We were sitting there and, we're sitting in the faith, they called it Faith Connections, right? It's the orientation
right.
that they ask people to go to. And they're like, "Well, can you do this Saturday?"
Sunday.
This Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, can you do this Sunday? And it's like 4 days away. And I'm like, yeah, I think so. Let me send out some messages. And then we finally just told Bill, I'm just like, we'll be here. Mm-hmm. I'll know what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
We'll be here. We'll be here to preach. We'll be here to pray. I don't know anything else.
Right.
And he's like, that's fine.
Here's the thing, being in that spot and every single time that we're there and the Holy Spirit leads us into exactly the right conversation, the exact right moment with the exact right person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All week leading up, I didn't write a sermon.
You didn't?
I was like,
that was amazing, man.
I'm like, let me tell the story. All week leading up to Sunday, I hadn't written a sermon.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I'm just going to say what God wants me to say.
Right.
You know, I figure he's going to just tell me to say something. And I've been praying every day, God, tell me what you want me to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then the control freak in me got up Sunday morning. And it was like 6:30. And I'm like, I probably should write something.
You probably ought to get on this.
I probably should think about it. And it just was playing in my head over and over again. Like, we're all hurt.
Yeah.
We've all been hurt.
Every one of us.
And so I, you know, wrote a couple bullet items. Here we go.
Hey, it flowed well. It was a great message. Really well.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, going back to the mission is perfect for us to talk about something like hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How do we have hope? And how do those people have hope? And how do we talk to them about dignity?
Yeah.
Right? There's so much going on that people don't see.
Yeah. That illustration about, you know, the duck gliding across the water, yeah, and you don't see,
yeah,
the paddle feet, you know, underneath just beating the band, you know.
Killing it.
And it, we get... When you think about hope and how you spread that message of hope, especially in a place that seems as dark as what the National Rescue Mission is,
yeah,
you know, because of the men that are residents there don't want to be residents there for the most part.
That's right. I think there are some that, like,
well, then, yeah,
I've been here, you know, I don't got nowhere else, but
right. But still,
that doesn't, yeah, mean they want to.
Right.
Yeah.
So here is a group of men who, as society sees them, you know, not just down on their luck, but down on their life.
Right.
You know, and how do you, when you come into a place like that, and to remember, number one, these men are just as important to Jesus as Billy Graham.
That's right.
You know?
That's a great illustration. Like, think about that.
Yeah, exactly. These men are as important to the kingdom as fill in a blank.
Right.
Put whoever you think is a spiritual giant.
Yeah.
In there, you know, as David.
Yeah.
As Paul.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great illustration. I never really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I should have, right? Because I think about that. You know, I talked about Ephesians, right?
And how, right,
we're adopted, right? We're, mm-hmm, predestined. Mm-hmm. Like, he chose us before anything.
Right.
And he didn't say Billy Graham.
No.
Right?
No, he didn't.
He said, I don't choose Billy Graham because you're going to bring millions to the kingdom.
Right.
He said, I choose everybody.
I choose you. Yep. And that's the best way that I know of to spread that kind of message of hope that I can think of off the cuff, you know?
Yeah. So what would you say to somebody, right? That's what I struggle with. When I'm out with, you know, anybody and I see maybe, you know, somebody who's homeless, mm-hmm, and I want to go pray with them.
Right.
Right. And I will. Right?
I'm sure.
You know, I will absolutely go pray with them. We, you know, we just this weekend, we're out, you know, at the dollar store buying stuff to do, you know, care packs, right? Like, mm-hmm, you know, just toothpaste and,
right,
deodorant and socks. And,
right.
And
put them in a Ziploc bag.
That's right. Give away.
Yeah.
We buy a gallon bag.
Exactly. I love doing that kind of stuff.
And I have to tell you a story here in a second about this weekend when we were,
okay,
talking about that. But what do you say? Like, because sometimes I struggle with, like, I'm going to pray for you, but, like, how do I give you more hope?
Yeah. That's we talked about earlier in this podcast. We talked earlier in the podcast about being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, and you always have to be open to that. You always have to be open to listening to what that still small voice is whispering in your ear to say. Most of the time, we rely on instinct to come up with some kind of icebreaker.
Yeah, we do.
And we rely on things that we know of that have been successful in the past to be able to start a conversation. But if every single thought that we have, if every single motion that we make, if every single word that we utter glorifies Jesus to make God famous in this land, in this place, then that conversation is going to naturally come to us. We always end up looking at ways that we want. Let me back up a little bit. Growing up, I grew up on a big grain farm. My dad was broke away from the family farm when I was in the second grade and started a carpet cleaning business. We were servants in the community, not just as farmers, not just as a carpet cleaner, but whatever we were doing, we were helping out in the community. My mom and my dad both. Well, my dad was, and now my mom was in Lions Club. So, you know, there's all kinds of servant opportunities and things like that. So coming from a servant background, being led into a servant's heart for Jesus, we always look at ways that we can help somebody, right? But yeah. Most of the time we look at that in a physical sense. You know, somebody's water heater has busted or washing machine line is, you know, broke and their house is flooded. Well, we want to go over there and get everything out, you know, pull the carpet up, rip the walls down, put new sheet, right? You know, we want to help.
Right.
We want to better somebody's station, right?
Absolutely.
So how do we transfer that into bettering somebody's spiritual station?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, right. And so that's my thought as we look for what that conversation, that icebreaker is to a homeless person or somebody who is down on their luck or down in their life or whatever. You know, how do you meet a physical need and a spiritual need, or do you just meet a spiritual need, or how do you differentiate between?
I think for me, the way I see it is there's a difference between outreach and evangelism.
Amen.
Right?
Definitely.
Outreach is meeting the physical needs.
Right. That's food pantries and things.
That's right. Right. And evangelism is meeting the spiritual needs.
Right.
But you have to earn the right to meet the spiritual needs by meeting the physical first.
Exactly.
Right?
True.
Because you can't just go out there and be like, you're a sinner. Read this Bible.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Let me flip to a couple of pages and show you.
Let me show you where it says in Galatians.
Yeah.
Right? No, nobody cares about that.
Right.
Not at the beginning. What they care about is what's going on.
Right.
Right? Like Linda told me this story recently about there was here in Lebanon on Facebook and, you know, maybe one of the hit pages, there was a girl who's like 19 and 4 months pregnant, and she's asking for a tent. I need a tent that will hold a queen size bed. I'm homeless. Mm-hmm. I can't leave the area, you know, because I'm on probation. I don't have a car. Like, there's all these things. And all these people are commenting about go here, do this, do that. And she says, I've tried this. I can't. I've done that. They won't help because of X, Y, and Z, right? Like, mm-hmm. She's given all these examples. And nobody's just meeting the need of giving her a tent.
Right.
Like, why isn't somebody just say, here's your tent? Now, we went back and looked to try to find the post so that we could go find her and give her a tent, right?
Yeah.
But she had taken it down, and then recently she posted, like, I need an air mattress. So we're like, we're going to figure out how to get her an air mattress. But then people were still like, we tried to help you. We told you where to go.
See, that's the problem.
But you're not meeting what she needs right this minute.
Right.
Help her right now, mm-hmm. and then figure out how do I help you with these other resources. But let's meet the need of today.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, $100 tent.
Right.
You know, now to some people, $100 is a lot of money, and $100 is a lot of money. However,
it is, but I wouldn't have it if it wasn't for God.
Amen.
It's not my money.
But how much money do I just piddle away on little things where I could be putting, case in point, the crisis pregnancy center, you know, they're doing their baby bottle drive.
Absolutely. Linda used to volunteer there. And
right.
She was the church liaison.
Yeah. Our church is involved with the baby bottle drive.
Amazing thing.
It is. It really is. And Rebecca and I have been, we'd take our pocket change. Of course, we don't, everybody uses a debit card now, right?
That's right.
So we have this big glass Coke bottle, you know, that we've been throwing pocket change in for, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years, something like that.
Right.
And I went over in between Sunday school and church and grabbed a bottle. And then I went on to, you know, put it down beside where our Bibles were and went on to the bathroom. Came back out of the bathroom. Rebecca had gotten three more. And I'm like,
all right. What? All right, here we go.
Okay. And she said, we're just going to take that pocket change out of that Coke bottle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we were saving, and initially it was, you know, for us to go on just a she and I trip somewhere to like Ireland or something.
Right. But, let's just save all of our change, and when we have enough, we'll reward ourselves.
Yeah. But, you know, the way things are now, that'll be in the year 2073. Right. But anyway.
Because you got, you know, full of baby bottles.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, now then we've got four baby bottles, and I'm thinking, and we probably need to go back and get four more.
Yeah.
You know, to meet those needs and meet those physical needs so that we can, you know, help out with the spiritual needs at the same time.
That's right. That's right. It's, and the pregnancy center is an amazing.
It really is.
It really is. They do great things.
They do.
Right. And all of that provides just the smallest sliver of hope for people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I don't know if people recognize this or not, and I think for a vast majority of people, they probably don't, but sometimes that little sliver of hope was the one thing that kept that person alive.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen. Yeah.
That one thing that just gave them, like, I am loved.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. That somebody does care.
Yep.
And I can continue on today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think people, they just forget, and I don't really understand why sometimes.
I don't either, and I think a lot of times, Rick, we get caught up in our own, I don't want to say, in our own feelings, you know, and instead of, and here's something that I've learned over the years. I don't practice it as well as I should.
Right.
You know, but one of the things I've always found is when I'm feeling depressed or down, or, you know, man, this can't get any worse or anything, I have to check myself to see, wait a minute, am I in communion with the Lord right now?
Yeah.
Am I? Because that hope that I have, that reassurance that I have in knowing where my fate is and where my destiny is, will change the way that I think and the way that I look at a particular circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I think we all have those instances or those, you know, glimpses of, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Am I really upset at my life right now?
Yeah.
Like, I have a God who loves me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm at a loss for words sometimes just to even explain how much God loves us.
Yeah.
And I think, why are you upset? Like,
what do you have to be upset about?
What do you have to be upset about?
Go back to that Matthew chapter 6 and the last part of that, you know, 24 through 31 chapter. You know, why did we worry?
Yeah.
You know, and I love that scripture because I look at the examples.
Yeah.
You know, look at the lilies of the field. They're, you know, let's look at the birds of the air. Right.
Don't I feed them?
Yeah, I take care of them. They spin, but they don't toil.
Right.
You know? So, I look at those things as these are things that God has given me to appreciate in his creation. You know, a lily is a beautiful flower. Watching a bird fly and hear a bird sing.
Absolutely.
You know, those are things that we take for granted, you know, that God has created for our enjoyment.
Yeah.
You know, as well as our benefit.
Yeah. Absolutely, our enjoyment and benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But we live in that world today that is just...
me-driven?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Right. So many people are so afraid at losing their convenience.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, oh, I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't go to the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I got to get Taco Bell. Yeah. It's 2 minutes. It's $5. I'm good.
Yeah.
It's convenient.
And I can go ahead and pay for it on the app, drive up to the curbside, and not have to talk to anybody.
That's right. No interaction.
None.
I don't even got to go to the grocery store anymore.
Right. Hit a click list. And
that's right.
Pull up there, push the button, tell them you're here, and they'll load it up in your car.
I'll tell you, I'm pretty stubborn because if I go to the grocery store, I refuse to go to the self-checkout aisle.
Yeah.
I refuse. I could have two items.
Yeah.
I'm waiting in line.
I'm that same. I like doing that. Now, there's times when I'm, you know, I got to get in and get out because, you know, I've got something.
Right.
Pressing, you know, I got something on the stove or something. And then
right.
I forgot milk.
I was sent to the store to buy something that we were cooking for dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm the same way. I had rather go through a checkout.
Yeah.
You know, because there's opportunity for conversation there.
Yeah, like I'll go and I'll ride and I'll have my cut on and somebody will say, oh, Bikers for Christ. And I'll say, yeah, how are you?
Yeah.
But you want to talk about it? You want to pray? Can I pray for you today? What do you need?
It's funny you said that. I was Saturday night, I was at an event and one of the guys that I know fairly well is in a wheelchair. Okay. And he's got a prosthetic leg, but he wasn't wearing his leg Saturday night. So anyway, we were talking about one of my brothers, and he said, man, that dude is awesome. He said he saw me at the gas station. He said, I'd never seen the guy before in my life. And he saw me in a gas station. I had my cut on, and he saw that I had my leg on. And he came up to me, and he just started up a conversation about my leg.
Yeah.
And he said, can I pray for you? And this guy was like, that dude is salt of the earth. Awesome. You know?
Right.
And it's just those little things like that we miss a lot of times because we're worried about our convenience.
Yeah. And I think also because we live in a society that's not okay.
Yes.
Right. We are told it's not okay to evangelize to people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. To proselytize.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's what we're told.
Exactly.
But I think the exact opposite, and so do you. Right? You know, Penn and Teller. Teller is like this world-renowned atheist, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever heard him say this, but he had said he did this show in somewhere. I don't remember where it was. But he did the show, and he was there for a couple nights. And the second night, a guy came back who was at the first show. And he said, I know you're an atheist, but I felt like God was calling me to bring you this Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he took him a Bible.
I've heard this story.
Right?
Yeah.
And he said, look, I don't believe. I'm still an atheist. He says, but here's my question for you Christians. He says, if your God is so good, how bad do you have to hate somebody.
Yep.
not to tell them the good news?
Is it because of fear? That we are that, and I say we because I'm grouping Christians into this as a whole.
Yeah. I think it's because of fear.
Fear of rejection.
Fear of rejection, fear of judgment, fear of, you know, being condemned, fear of all kinds of things.
Yeah, I agree. But fear is a huge motivator.
Yeah, it is.
And depending on how you use it, fear can motivate you for the good or the bad.
That's true. I know. Look, I have fear. I fear that I will go to hell.
Amen.
Right? I fear that when I stand in front of him, that I don't hear the words, mm-hmm. well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
That's my fear.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm going to do what I can to make sure that I hear the right words.
I want to make sure that when I step up there, you know, and well, you're Rob Reeves. Come on.
Yeah, come on in.
You know,
we got a lot to talk about.
I got your name right here. Yeah. You know, I want to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. My brother.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
So, you know, we originally said we were going to talk about hope, and we talked a little bit. We talked a lot about hope.
We talked, yeah.
I didn't know that you were super involved in Tres Dias.
Mm-hmm. Very involved.
But I don't really know anything about it.
Really?
No, I really don't. Like, so wow. I thought I'd just ask.
Okay. Rebecca and I have been involved in Tres Dias since 2007.
Okay.
And Tres Dias is a, and I'm going to butcher this, ecumenical community.
Okay.
So it is an interdenominational ministry. It's segregated men and women, and it's cloistered. In other words, you're away from the world.
Okay.
You have no cell phone. You don't wear your watch. You don't have a computer. You know, the whole nine yards. The men go on the first weekend, and then the women go the following weekend. And it is designed to enhance and make your walk with Christ more intimate. And it's the way that it's designed, it shows, it goes through a process of introducing things in your life that you may not have realized that you were overlooking. Like, for instance, when I went through, that's where I figured out how to dance with grace.
Really?
Yeah. Really. I knew what the definition of grace was.
Right.
And I had heard the sermons about, you know, how grace is supposed to be applied in our life.
Right.
But I'd never really took it to heart. I'd never really understood it. And there was a particular part of the Tres Dias weekend on Friday nights. It's one of my favorite parts of the weekend because of this. And I was reintroduced to grace in an intimate way. And I say dance with grace because in a dance, it's very intimate. You know,
right.
You know, when you're dancing with your wife, there are times when you lead and there's times when she leads. And the same thing goes with grace. You know, when you to give you a visual representation of this, the Good Samaritan on the side of the road, you know, the guy that was beaten, and I like to think he was in a pool of his own blood, you know,
absolutely.
When the good Samaritan, the hero of the story, reaches down to him and extended the grace, he had to reach back up to take hold of the Good Samaritan to get up off the ground, so that he could put him on his donkey and take him to the inn, right? So grace works both ways.
Yeah.
It's extended to you, and you have to accept it. And the same thing when we give grace to somebody else. We extend that grace, but they have to accept it.
Yeah.
Now, it's on the Holy Spirit at that point, you know, to convict them.
That's right.
You know, and the same thing with us with spirituality. But so Tres Dias, to me, was a game changer for the way that I went about things in my life. I thought I was doing things well, and I was doing things okay, but I found out how to do things really well for Christ. You know, how to react in a Christian community, how to put Christian community into action, what role the Holy Spirit plays in my life. All the way down to, you know, the need for us to be in not just in communion with each other with Jesus,
yeah,
but to be in group together for unity purposes with the body of Christ. It's not designed to, Tres Dias is not designed to replace your church, but it's to show you how to better serve in your church, better serve in your community.
Yeah, I probably got to look into that.
We'll talk about it some more. Well, I will tell you this. Your name has already come up between me and another very close friend of ours for you and Linda to do Tres Dias.
That doesn't surprise me. One of Linda's best friends, Lanice is, she does volunteers all the time.
Right.
Like, we always hear she's going to some Tres Dias meeting. Or,
oh, yeah.
And she's been trying to get us to go forever.
Yeah. Go. Go.
We'll have to. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. So
it's the control part of me that I struggle with, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe it wouldn't be too bad now, but, you know, the control part of me is, how do I'm not a big share person.
Right? Yeah, I get it.
Right? I don't just mean like talk and share.
Yeah.
Like I can talk with people.
Right, but to open up and let your junk out.
I've gotten better as I've started this podcast and maybe not even a problem opening the junk drawer. I don't want to share a room with people.
Well.
I don't want to sleep in a dorm. Like I've done that.
Let me give you some encouragement on that.
I know.
Okay. All right. So everybody that you would be in that dorm room with is in the exact same boat you are.
I know they are. And I say it, and as I say it, I think about a couple years ago, pre-COVID, Newhart had a men's retreat. And I'm like, I ain't going. I ain't going because we got to share rooms.
Yeah.
And they convinced me to go. And it was an amazing weekend.
Yeah.
Right? But I still had to share a room.
Yeah.
And I even offered to pay double so I didn't have to share a room.
That's funny.
You know, because it was like two guys to a room. I'm like, I'll pay for two guys. You know, give me my own room.
Yeah, just get my own room.
Yeah.
Of course, it's been 15 years since I was in a full dorm with everybody because now I get, you know, a room with one other guy because I serve now. But let me say this. When you are on the mountain on the weekend, amazing things happen in your life.
I know they do. And I know that I need to do it. I know that I need to do it.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of that I want to or that I should.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I need to. I just got to convince myself.
Yeah. Rebecca and I, the guy that sponsored us to go through, we dodged him for like 2 years. He started asking us, and we were like, I don't want to do
that. We've been dodging Manise for way longer than
that. Yeah, well, and finally we were like, look, let's just get him to shut up and let's go, all right? And so we went, and of course, you know, the men go the first weekend, and we came home, and Rebecca said, when I got to the door, she said, I was like, well, he's changed. I don't need to go now. Everything's okay. Everything's better.
Yeah. You fixed my problem.
You fixed my problem. Everything's all right. But yeah, and then, you know, when she came back for us to, you know, sit down and talk about it. And every single weekend when we come off the mountain, we spend, well, that Sunday night when we get home, obviously, you know, there's a whole bunch of conversation going on, but it's gone on through the next couple of weeks about, oh, let me tell you something else, you know, and it's phenomenal. It's coming up in September. I'll shoot it to you.
I appreciate that.
Just be ready. Cause I'm just going to show up one afternoon and say, I need you to sign this and be ready in 2 weeks. Cause we're going.
Well, I mean, as long as it doesn't interfere with, you know, our regional rally for BFC.
It's the third, let's see. Men's weekend, the women's weekend is the 22nd through the 25th, and the men's weekend is the week before that. So,
yeah, I think our BFC rally is the first weekend of September. It's that holiday weekend.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah, yeah.
You're good. I'll get you an application here next week.
I think I got to be out of town or something.
That no, you don't. I know a national elder that can change that.
It's a work thing.
I can't help you there.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you know I love talking. Right? I can sit and talk all day.
Right, right.
But I don't think people would care that we sit and talk all day.
No, probably wouldn't.
Is there anything? So now, look, you guys are fully patched except for one little cube.
Yeah.
One little cube, which is just a little cube, right? I know it's important to you.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's super important. I don't want to minimize that. But you've got the respect, right? You've got the respect in this community here. And so I think that's a huge thing. If you could say anything to anybody else going through it, what would you say?
Respect.
Yeah. I agree.
It is the biggest thing, and I say that as a broad term with a big broad stroke, but respect earned is respect given.
Amen.
You know, and in this world, in this culture, knowing the culture, number one.
That's huge.
It is very huge. But being able to show that respect, you know, and keep knocking on the door.
Yeah.
You know, there's a misconception about, you know, once you're in, you're in. And that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, it's just as easy for me to lose these patches as it was for me to gain them.
Yeah.
You know, and to be able to step foot in this circle that my feet are in now and that our feet are in.
Right.
You know, because we're in the same circle.
That's right.
And to be able to step inside that circle and do what God has called us to do is an amazing thing. And there was, you're aware of it because we've talked about it, the incident that has kind of caused things to be hairy.
Yeah.
You know,
hairy's a good term.
Yeah. Being able to be available for ministry things and for spiritual things past just prayer.
Absolutely.
You know, when we showed up at an event 2 weeks ago, walked in and everybody knew what we were there for. Everybody knew why Forged Brotherhood was there.
Yeah.
You know, and we made some great friendships out of it. You know, we planted some seeds in it. Yeah. And you know, now I'm not saying that, you know, because Forged Brotherhood is on the scene now that everything's going to change. What I'm saying is that Jesus is going to be proclaimed, you know, from us as well as like from you guys as well. So, you know, the more players that are involved in that, the better.
Well, I think that's why
audience is going to hear.
I think that's why I love the Christian Motorcycle Club and the Christian Motorcycle Ministries in Tennessee, mm-hmm. right? Is that we all work together.
Right.
Right. Like Bikers for Christ, we don't do bike blessings because CMA does it amazing.
Right.
Let's just go support them.
Right.
Right. We don't do Clubhouse Sundays because Tribe of Judah's
got it. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's go support them.
Yeah.
Right. Now you and I have talked about some other stuff that I think we should definitely do. Right.
Like sure.
Down biker events and
yes.
You know.
Yes.
Christian unity conferences more often, even calls. Right. Right? We should do stuff more than once a month or once a year.
Once
right?
a year. Yeah.
We should do it once a month.
We should. We really should. But
because of the community that we have, and we all recognize that we're all in this together, mm-hmm. right? We all have the same boss. We exactly. all serve the same king.
Mm-hmm.
That it doesn't matter who's patched with where and what.
Right.
Right? And that's I think that's what I love. And I know that there's other areas that it's not like that.
There are.
Right? And there are other Christian motorcycle clubs that don't feel that way. And yep. so I think we're lucky. I think we're yep. blessed that we have this community that we have today and can just show this united front in Christ, because it's important
mm-hmm.
for us to be united together, regardless of mm-hmm. what our patches say,
right,
to the community that we serve. That's important mm-hmm. to them.
You know what? That's a great topic for our next podcast.
Yeah, I guess it really is. It is. It is a great one for the next one.
Yeah. And I think that there are, because like you said, there are other MCs, Christian MCs, that don't really feel that.
That's right.
And how do we change that, turn that tide so that everybody isn't trying to, I won't say claim territory, but how that everybody is working together for the good and to glorify God and everything.
Yeah, that's definitely a topic we cannot cover in the next minute.
No.
So we'll definitely
we'll do that again.
We'll do that one again.
Yeah.
Look, do you have anything you want to add before we?
Man, I appreciate you having me on.
And, I love it.
And you know, I appreciate the respect that we share with each other. And when we are out together, and even you know, just talking on the phone and things like that, I've always enjoyed it. But I want to say that I appreciate your heart.
I appreciate that. And the feeling is mutual.
Yeah. And I have appreciated your heart for many years. We've thank been you. Friends a long time.
Yeah,
and
thank you. That means a lot to me.
I've always respected you and admired you and admired the way that you are non-apologetic about your service to the Lord.
Yeah. I appreciate that. It means a lot because there's a lot of times, and even Sunday, I'm asking Linda when we get home, like, would I be okay?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Was it okay? And because I just sometimes, I don't know.
Yeah, that is a funny story. Rebecca reminds me of this every time I ask her. Billy Graham asked his wife one time, how was it? She said, you did great, but you still have to take out the trash.
I think I did take out the trash.
Every Sunday night, I have to take the trash to the road.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So, but yeah, and she reminds me of that all the time.
Yeah, that's, like, that's great. I'm going to have to use that with Linda.
You did great, but you still have to take out the trash.
I'll tell her she has to take out the trash, though.
Let me know how that works.
You know I'm not going to say
I know you're not.
Listen, I know. Brother, I appreciate it.
Thank you,
and brother. We'll do this as often as you want to.
I'm down with
it. Like, we can just keep going and going and going.
Yeah. I love it. I love it, too. All right. This is great.
Hey, everybody. Thanks. This is Rick and Rob with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. If you guys want to talk, send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. And, you know, subscribe, whatever platform of choice you choose. Just give us a like. Thanks.